Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our first guest of Super Bowl week not only played in a Super Bowl and won back in the 80s, but he's gone twice as a member of a coaching staff, including as the head coach of the Carolina Panthers for Super Bowl 50. Ron Rivera, always good to catch up with him and to hear him talk about the game of football and to think about where he was not even a decade ago and everything that he went through as a coach to get the Panthers to the point at which they were on this biggest stage with the Broncos. I wanted to make sure I picked his brain about Super Bowl week. Coach Ron Rivera, what is it like to take your team into the fray for a Super Bowl week?
You don't realize how much of an event the Super Bowl has become. There are so many things that are pulling people in different directions, and As a coach, you've got so much to worry about, so much to be concerned with, and you got stuff outside of football that you know is distracting for your team, distracting for individual players, and distracting for yourself, that you're trying to keep them focused on what's important and not all this interesting stuff. So it really is a build-up to that game, and quite honestly, every time you get on the field, there's a big relief because the only focus now is just the game itself, football.
Especially if they hadn't been to the game before. How do you prepare them?
Well, you try to inform them as whatever could happen. You try to make sure they understand, you know, hey, you're going to be tugged, pulled in one direction, tugged in another direction. People are going to want, you know, they got their hand out. I mean, that was my third Super Bowl. And to be honest, it just gets harder and harder because it's become such a big event, not just nationally, but worldwide now.
I remember going to the game between the Falcons and the Patriots, and this goes back obviously a few years, but it was my first one, and what I didn't realize is how different it is inside the stadium versus what you see on TV, how much is happening during every, what we would call commercial breaks, right? But every break and play, someone's getting introduced, there's something happening on the Jumbotron. So even during the game, it's just this incredibly amped up, amplified atmosphere.
It is, it's created by the people that run it. They understand, in my opinion, what it means to keep them engaged, keep the fans engaged. So they're always trying to find something that can draw their focus and attention on the NFL. Not just necessarily the game, because like you said, every time there's a break, there's an introduction, there's somebody being posted up on the big board, there's something talked about, you know, as far as the NFL is concerned. So it is something that they understand. And they produce it that way because they know the excitement that you know, this is the most watched thing in the world every year.
We're excited to have Ron Rivera back with us here after hours with Amy Lawrence. When it comes to the coaching part of it, how much do you change going into a game like this where you have a couple of weeks to play with it?
You know, that's one of the things that, you know, we try to be careful with. In the two Super Bowls I went as a coach, one as a coordinator, we try to keep things basic. We try to keep things fundamentally sound the weeks leading up to it, the 2 weeks leading up to it, so that when we got to game time, the stuff that we did work on, the stuff that we did prepare, the guys could handle a lot easier, a lot more naturally. And, you know, for us, it was just really one of those matters of breaks. I mean, we had a guy who didn't fumble all year, fumble twice in the game. I mean, right. Some things you can't plan for. And unfortunately, you know, usually it's something negative that gets you.
So during the AFC Championship, we saw Patrick Mahomes with a designed run around to the right. It was disguised perfectly. It scores a touchdown from 10 yards out. And members of the Bills defense admitted they had not seen that play on tape. So Andy Reid pulls something out that the Chiefs haven't used all year that the Bills could see. What's your reaction to that?
That's the thing that you look for when you're watching tape. You're looking for, what have we done? What could we get them on that they had not expected? And that's one of the things that, you know, Andy's a master at. If you go back and look at the last two Super Bowls they've won, they've had a play that's been very unique to them that was a scoring play. You know, when they beat Philadelphia, they had the Z receivers coming down in motion. He fakes like he's going up over the top, reverses fields, go back out the other side, and they throw him the touchdown pass. And then when they beat the 49ers, they bring the Z receiver down inside, and when this ball snapped, you see Kelce go straight at the cornerback, and all of a sudden the receiver, he reverses fields, goes back out to the flat for the game winner. So he's always looking for something that's least expected, and I promise you, going through all of his tape, all of his reports, everything, it all points to something that they have, that they will be planned to use at the right moment.
You spent the time with the Commanders, so you're familiar with at least the beginning of Nick Sirianni's career, though they didn't have Saquon Barkley.
Yes.
But their identity a couple years ago was similar in that they wanted to run the ball control, longer possessions. As a defense, how do you get ready for such an incredibly effective run game?
Well, probably the biggest thing is you're going to have to make sure you have what you really feel is your best run-stopping group of players. You know, are we going to put all the heavies out at once and just say we're going to work to stop it and say you got to beat us throwing the ball? I mean, again, it's all going to be what Coach Spagnuolo decides is their best approach. Or are we going to continue to run pressures and blitzes to try and shut down the run as well? I mean, these are all things that you've got to go through and think of. You've got to go back, watch tape. I know the last time we went to a Super Bowl, I watched every game that Denver had played that year. You know, that's 18 games. So you go back, you look at all of them, and you're trying to map out and say, hey, you know what? Look at how people stop them doing this. This is something that we got to be able to emulate. So knowing Spags, he'll probably have done that, trying to find that one little thing that he believes they can hang their hat on and stop the run.
So no sleeping for coaches during Super Week is what you're saying.
Exactly. I'll tell you right now, it will be the hardest you work all year because – you don't want to miss something. You don't want to sit there and say, gosh, if we would have only done this, or, you know, we didn't see that. I mean, that's one thing you don't want to say. You really don't.
Saquon Barkley is an entirely different element to this Eagles offense now. Plus, they have the tush push. So as a guy who came from the defensive side of the ball, Coach, what's your theory on the tush push or the brotherly shove?
The interesting thing about it, really, it's about the initial surge. You win at the snap. If the offensive line can get going before the defense does, they'll win because they're going to get lower. They're going to use leverage. Now, the other thing they do very well is with the tush push is the quarterback is always going straight. The idea is as soon as you can get him to either stop or go sideways, he loses all of his momentum. That's why what happened to Buffalo. You know, if you go back and look in the AFC Championship when they did their version of the push, what happened was, You saw Josh Allen end up going sideways, and that's how you defeat it as a defense, is if you can win the snap of the ball, right, stonewall it so that there is no push, now all of a sudden the quarterback stops and goes sideways, you got a chance. You've got to anticipate the snap, jump the snap, and win at the line of scrimmage.
I have to admit, it was highly entertained by Frankie Louvu's attempt to stop the tush push on the goal line in the divisional round. I don't think I'd ever seen a player two snaps in a row go flying over the top of a line of scrimmage like that.
If you see what he was trying to do, is he was trying to skim the top of the offensive lineman so he can meet the quarterback at the right moment. And if he could time that out perfectly, you can stymie and you can win.
Moment of truth, Coach. Did you know that the NFL or that officials could award touchdowns that weren't actually scored as a penalty for the other team?
Yes, I did. And a big part of it was what happened in that college bowl game a long time ago, where I believe it was one of the players came off the bench and tackled a guy, okay, who was returning a kickoff for a touchdown. And they awarded him the so I knew that from way back. you know, the rules state very specifically that if something's being done intentionally and it's repeated, you know, it could be considered a personal foul. And if that's unsportsmanlike, they're going to go ahead and they're going to allow that touchdown to be given.
Former coach of the year, longtime NFL head coach Ron Rivera with us here after hours with Amy Lawrence, headed to New Orleans, and we'll talk about that momentarily. I saw the reports about you interviewing with the Bears, even recently with a position on the Jaguars staff. What can you share about the hiring process or this cycle?
Well, we're still going through it. I mean, we'll see how things unfold in the next few days, and, you know, maybe something will move one way or the other. But, you know, it's been interesting. You know, the opportunity to coach is something that I find interesting and intriguing. So we're just going to kind of go through it and see what happens.
I know the last time I talked to you, you mentioned that you were interested in getting back into coaching, but not so much the management and all the drama that you dealt with the last couple years. So has it been refreshing just to kind of get back in that cycle and see it with new eyes?
It really is. Managing the situation and circumstances was very difficult. It really was. People have no understanding of the degree of off-the-field, non-football chaos that I had to deal with. And that, to me, is probably the one thing that bothers me, because I ended up managing as opposed to coaching. And, you know, as a coach, I love everything about the game. The game's been great to me. It's been great to our family. And, you know, as a result, I've been able to fulfill a lot of my desires and dreams as a young person who, you know, looked at the NFL as an opportunity. And I enjoyed the heck out of it. I really do. But the last few years had been very difficult.
Well, we're rooting for you to get back into it when the time is right. But what did you think of the media side of things after a year of working on the desk, so to speak, and on games?
You know, what was very interesting for me personally was, you know, I did some stuff in studio for the NFL Network, and that, I enjoyed the heck out of it. That was a lot of fun. Good people there. There really are a lot of great people. But I also got the call games for Westwood One and Sports USA Radio.
Yes.
And that was fascinating. I enjoyed the heck out of that because, first of all, you know, being up in the booth and looking down on the game, it's like a 10,000-foot view. You see everything that's going on. I was fortunate. I got to cover, I believe it was 5 Rams games, and watching what Coach McVay does and the way he innovates was really spectacular. It really was cool. It kind of gave me a little bit more of a sense of, you know, of why I love the game so much. Working with the statisticians and the analysts, the analytics guys from the NFL Network gave me a chance to really understand what it meant to dive into the numbers and look to use those numbers to see exactly what's going on. I saw trends. I saw how one coaching staff with a young quarterback and how they worked with him, and he had a spectacular year, where another staff that didn't quite have it going, why they struggled and why there was such a difference between the two of them. When you look at certain numbers, it pointed to, you know, certain things that the Commanders were doing in a really positive fashion that really helped Jaden out. And I'll tell you, that's going to be the reason why Jaden Daniels is the rookie of the year. I mean, offensive rookie of the year, just because of the things that they did offensively.
When you get back into coaching, how do you use analytics like that? How much of a role do they play?
It either reaffirms what you believe in, or it points to what's going wrong. It's not the decision maker for you. It can't be. It's got to be part of it, though. It's got to be a tool that you use to help validate or invalidate what you're trying to do and say, you know what, we need to look at something different. Wow, you know, this is why. I'll give you an example. If you look at the things that the Commanders did, they used play action pass spectacularly. You go back and look at it to where, you know, Jaden was so good at it, the way their receivers were open, okay? His receiver separation was above league average. I mean, that's telling you that the routes that those guys are running, the way they're running the routes, were really good, and they were giving Jaden, you know, good targets to throw the ball to.
Ron Rivera, you're headed to New Orleans in a different capacity this year, doing some media work, but also you've partnered with USAA for a long time. Why is that so important to you?
Well, the big thing is because it's the Salute to Service, and USAA has been tremendous with their support of the NFL's efforts for Salute to Service and making sure that we pay homage and show our gratitude to our military personnel. And, you know, my father was a retired military, so to me it's very important that we give back to that community of folks.
I've never been to Army Navy in person. What is that like, Coach?
Oh, it's spectacular. These are the young men and women that are serving our country, and for them to be able to come together in a very competitive atmosphere, but at the same time know that they are brothers in arms, okay? These young men and women are the elite young Americans that, you know, we hang our future on. And just knowing those folks are there, it was really neat. It was an honor to be there. It really was. And I had a great time just being around them. I mean, it was a neat thing. It was a lot of fun, and I'd do it again.
I've heard the atmosphere is legendary when you get those stadiums packed, because it's a different type of energy, right? As you point out, it's not just about football.
It isn't, amen. Yeah, because there's so much tradition, first of all, that's involved with it. It really is. So everybody that's played for Army, even played for Navy, if they can get there, they're there to show their support. And at the same time, they're there to have a great time and kind of poke fun at each other and salute our nation. They really, truly do. And it's really neat that USAA is a big part of presenting that football game every year.
So we'll see Ron Rivera in New Orleans as part of USAA Salute to Service, which is incredible, but not done with this hiring process. So we look for good things, Coach. You've been so good to us this year. Thank you so much for a few minutes.
I appreciate it, Amy, and it's always great to hear you.